Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Giants Talk Podcast on Podbean. I am your host. You can call me GT. Now, this is the inaugural episode, so this is going to be pretty short, and it's not going to be quite the same way I usually do things. But I just wanted to get one out to introduce myself and kind of go over a few things that are bothering me before this week's NFL games really get going. Now, normally I will also give my predictions for all the games for the week coming up. However, because this is coming up a little bit late and the Thursday night game has already actually taken place, I will not make a prediction on that particular game or even probably the rest of the NFL. I will just make a prediction for the upcoming Giants game this week, which will be at home against the Baltimore Ravens. Now, first, I want to focus a little bit on, I think, the biggest glaring problem the New York Giants have right now. That is the offensive line. You can talk all you want about how Odell Beckham Jr. is a distraction. You can talk about how Eli Manning seems to be having a bad year. But both of those, when put into perspective, mean little. And I'll explain why. First, Odell Beckham Jr. is not that much of a distraction, as was we just saw in the loss that they just had this past Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. Odell Beckham Jr. was quiet, somewhat productive, and yet the Giants still struggled greatly on offense and couldn't get anything accomplished. I mean, 43 yards on the ground is pathetic. There's no two ways about that. It's disgusting. And you cannot blame that, again, on the running backs, because they seem to be having bursts, much like your starters in Shane Vereen and Rashad Jennings. Now, happily, this coming Sunday, we will get tight end Larry Donnell back and Rashad Jennings back, so that will definitely boost the offense a little bit, only because Rashad Jennings is a better blocker than his backups, and Donnell is a better blocker and pass catcher a little bit more than Ty is, Will Ty is. But everything stems back to, and we'll even talk about Eli Manning. He's obviously having a very poor year this year. And if you watch the games, you will know why. He's gun-shy. He is getting hit so often in that backfield and so quickly that you can see it. He's gun-shy. He's stepping up in the pocket when there's really no reason to. The pocket is still formed around him, or he still has time. He's throwing the ball at people's feet near the line because he doesn't want to take a chance at throwing an interception, which I understand that. But again, his internal clock, every quarterback has one. Normally it's set to 2.5 to 3 seconds. Eli Manning's is set at about 1.5, maybe 2 seconds right now. That doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're waiting for a receiver to run a route to open up to get free, that's a world of time. And he's not getting it. And this is what it all boils down to. That offensive line is abysmal. It's absolutely abominable. When the best player you have is Eric Flowers, and he's shoving reporters in the locker room, his grade for the last game was like a 77. That's awful. That is terrible. You're not giving Eli Manning any time. And so, of course, like I said, he's gun-shy. He's afraid to go anywhere near the deep routes because he's afraid he's going to get sacked or hit while he's throwing it and throw another interception. And in the case of the running game, you're going to get bursts from time to time if you manage to fool the linebackers for just a second and your running back can make the first guy miss. Or he can find an opening that wasn't really supposed to be there, but he makes it work anyway. So that's really the big problem for the New York Giants in the offense. That's why the offense is not producing. There's no time. If you watch any game that the Giants have played, and I'm going to move into the defense here in just a second, they're not getting any pressure on the quarterback. When a quarterback has time, he's going to make throws. His receivers are eventually going to get open, and Eli Manning does not have that time. Even when he does have that time, he has been hit so often, and he is so gun-shy, he doesn't feel that he has the time. And so he's making these errors, these hasty, panicky decisions to, you know, turf the ball at the feet of a running back nearby. But again, let me get back to the defense now. The defensive line, until last week, had been pretty good at stopping the run and stuffing the line of scrimmage. They're not getting any real pressure on the quarterback, mind you, which is something that definitely needs to change. But they weren't allowing big gashes of running room until this last weekend when we saw their big weakness on that defensive line, which is at the ends. And I don't know why this is the case. It was this way during the entire Coughlin era and just continues to be so. The defensive ends crash the line every single time. Watch any game. If they are able to, they will crash down the line. Instead of going straight back and containing the run, forcing the runner back to the middle of the pile where the interior lineman can make tackles or the linebackers can step up and make tackles, they're crashing in the line and leaving the edges wide open. And Eddie Lacy gashed them unmercifully Sunday because he could exploit this. He is a great edge runner. And he just exploited the crap out of that problem. It was abysmal. Fundamentals is what ends up winning football games. And the fundamental job of a defensive end is to contain the play. Keep the play inside the tackles. If you force a quarterback to stay in the pocket, you don't let him escape out, and then you can collapse that pocket, that's where your sacks come from. If you can force a running back inside to where a defensive lineman or a linebacker can make the tackle, sometimes even for a loss or for a very short gain, you win. That's your job. But when you crash the line and you leave the edges open, and then the corner, if he's blocked well by a receiver, and there are a number of good receivers in the league right now at blocking, or if he's gone and followed on a route because it's a play fake or a delayed handoff, something like that, you're going to get gashed for 6, 7, 8 yards at a crack until someone can get over and stop them. And that happened often during the game with Green Bay. Green Bay had almost 150 yards on the ground. That's the most by far this season. And the Giants have come up against some decent running backs. You know, as we've seen, Ezekiel Elliott is beginning to come into his own for Dallas, and they contained him. But I can't point to those first two games because now, the way things look, it looks like those first two games were flukes. And that the rest of this, the last three games, are more what the Giants' speed is going to be. Now, moving into the secondary. When Eli Apple and DRC are in that secondary, it's a completely different Giants defense. Eli Apple looks like, right now, he is going to be an excellent corner. Once he has gotten a little seasoning in the NFL, and hopefully if he can stay healthy, he is going to be a shutdown corner. I think he will be the next Darrell Revis. It will now be called Eli Apple Island. But he's just got to get a little bit more seasoning and hopefully stay healthy. DRC, when he's out there on the field, when he's healthy, and you saw some real guts from him on Sunday, and I'm going to go over that in a second, but when he's out there and healthy and moving, he's a force on the field. You know, and he makes plays. And here's the thing, and I'm going to go back to this now. Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie played with a groin injury. And you saw him hobble back onto the field time and time and time again, even though he was in a lot of pain. Why? Because he knows the next man up for the New York Giants in that secondary is just not good enough. The next in line on the Giants secondary would probably be happy to be a practice squad player on just about any other team in the league. Now, that being said, Janoris Jenkins, wow, so my friend, where have you been all season? Two picks of Aaron Rodgers. Fantastic. At least you showed up to play, sir, and myself and every other Giants fan, we appreciate that, and we applaud you for that. Thank you very much. To the rest of the secondary, where were you? Honestly, you have to have the next man up mentality, or it's just going to always fall apart like this. You know, Aaron Rodgers was able to take apart that secondary at times and march it right down the field and put points on the board when the Giants' offense could not do anything. They struggled to do the simplest of things. Now, that being said, the special teams, moving to special teams here really quick, was average. Not great, not bad, you know, but you had a couple of flashes from Dwayne. Oh, good grief. Dwayne Harris. Sorry about that. Stumbling over my own words here. he had a couple of good returns, which was great. Gave the Giants great field position, and they did nothing with it. Overall, though, I would give the offense an F for last week, an absolute F. I would give the defense, I will actually give the defense a solid B. You know, yes, they gave up a lot of yards on the ground, but they kept the running backs out of the end zone and forced them to do it through the air. But at the same time, while they did give up some yards to Aaron Rodgers, they didn't give up the big plays. They didn't give up the huge scores and huge touchdown margins. They held them to two touchdowns, which I know that seems like, you know, an odd thing to praise for, but considering we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, probably one of the most prolific touchdown passers in the NFL, that's still a feat, especially considering, like I said, it was a lot of second-string players out there doing it, and Janoris Jenkins was able to pick him off a couple of times. So I'll give him a solid B for that effort. The coaching staff. Ben McAdoo. You were brought in originally as the offensive coordinator from Green Bay because the offense was struggling. While you were offensive coordinator, not much changed. It didn't really get much better. It got a little better for a while, and then it slacked right back off again, and it has not picked up since. The Giants are awful on offense, and some of it has to fall to you. I'm not going to give it all to Ben McAdoo right now because his players still have to make plays. But right now, you need to change something. And that backyard football nonsense with Odell Beckham Jr. doing some weird form of the wildcat is not it. Don't get me wrong, I understand what you're trying to do, and Odell Beckham Jr. is by far your best player on offense. And you're trying to get him the ball, you're trying to get him, you know, to do some things and try to see what you can make happen, but that's not it. I like the idea of lining him up in the backfield, like a running back, for swing passes out of the backfield or to throw off defenses because everybody's trying to keep their eyes on 13 on the field. That's a good idea, but the wildcat thing was odd. I don't understand what you were planning with that. But something has to change. Steve Spagnuolo, I know you're working with a depleted roster right now on defense, but you have got to find a way to get pressure on opposing quarterbacks. And no better way to do that than this coming week against the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens have a poorly ranked offense, and they're coming off of a week where they literally fired their offensive coordinator immediately following their loss to the Washington Redskins. That being said, there's a chance here that there may well be a hiccup in their play calling, in their execution. They'll have only had 1 week with a new head coach. With a new offensive coordinator. Now, that being said, this is the quarterback's coach that they're bringing up. They just moved up Marty Mordenwig, their quarterback's coach, but he was a quarterback's coach, not the offensive coordinator. So you're going to have new play calling because they wanted to get as far away from Mark Trestman's dink and dunk style. But unfortunately, I don't believe the Ravens' offense, even with a new coordinator, is built for the big plays down the field. They just don't have it. Don't get me wrong, Flacco has the ability in bursts. He's not a solid quarterback in that regard. He's a little spotty. That being said, with the Giants, if they can shut down the run and not crash the line and contain, I think the secondary, especially if Eli Apple and Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie are able to go, bodes well on the Giants on the defensive side of the ball. On the offensive side of the ball, however, we're probably looking at a lot more one-dimensional New York Giants football because the Baltimore Ravens are ranked fourth in run defense, averaging only 76 yards per game allowed. Yes, they are getting back Rashad Jennings, which will help a great deal. However, I think that you're going to see quite a few screen passes in lieu of a running game again, similar to what we saw last week. Without a balance, Eli Manning, and without protecting Eli Manning from that pass rush, we're going to have a repeat of what happened last week. Now, that being said, let me move into my final section here, which is going to be my prediction for this game. Now, like I said, normally I would just go through and give just an overall prediction of each game, you know, giving my winner maybe a quick reason why. This week, like I said, trying to do a slightly shorter show just as an introduction. I think the Giants, if they really handle their business, if they can get the monkey off their back, this is the game right here. I'm going to go with the Giants. I'm going to say very close game because the Ravens are generally in the games very close. But we are talking about a team that struggled against the Browns and just lost to the Washington Redskins. And while the Redskins are on a resurgence right now, they haven't exactly been playing top caliber teams and putting them down. So I'm going to take the Giants in this one. I'm going to say 23-21. I'm going to give a little bit of leeway to Flacco. This is based on the idea that Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie and Eli Apple are not ready to go and that they will be sitting this game out. If they are in, obviously I think that changes the dynamic entirely, and this score would obviously change, but I'm going to go on the basis that both of them are out. That being said, my final thought on this, if the Giants do not win this game, if the Giants fall at home to the Ravens, the season is over. They are currently in the same position that Washington was in when they beat the Giants. Washington was in that situation where if they had fallen to 0-3 right out of the gate in the NFC East, you could pretty much just punch the ticket, they're done. They would have been out of contention because that was a hole just far too deep. Well, the Giants are currently in that position. They are the last ones in the NFC East. They are in dead last place. And they own it by themselves. And they're on a 3-game skid. If that moves to a 4-game skid, pack it in. The season will be over. At that point, you're just playing to see who might still have a job the following year. And I'll be honest, if this does go down that way, and this season does fall in that regard, because honestly, I had the Giants going 8-8 this year. I know some people were giving the Giants 11-12 game wins this season, which I didn't see at all. This is not an easy schedule by any stretch of the imagination, and the last few games were kind of the teeth of one of the worst sections. This right here is make or break time for the New York Giants. I mean, that's an odd thing to say this kind of early in the season, because we're only about a third of the way through. But this really does become make or break, because if you fall 4 games down, you are that far behind in the NFC East, which has enjoyed a resurgence. Dak Prescott has been marching Dallas through opponents left and right.
The Redskins have awakened, since that win against the Giants. And the Eagles, aside from last week, looked spectacular. Now, that being said, I think Carson Wentz might stumble a little bit this week. He may have a hard time shaking off the game-losing pick that he threw. But that will be his actual ultimate test, is can he shake that off, and can he show that he has the mentality of an elite quarterback here in the NFL? If he can do that, then I will say that Carson Wentz is legit and that the Eagles will be a real contender this season. But like I said, that being said, let me get back to what I was saying. The Giants have to win this game. If they do not win this game, this might well be the death knell even for, and I know the Mara family doesn't like drama, but this might be the death knell for Ben McAdoo. You've got all the pieces that you need on that offense to be racking up points in the dozens, and you're struggling to get between the 20s. That's unacceptable. You can't win games with field goals. You just can't. It doesn't work like that. Now, one final thing, just as a little background for myself, so people understand where I'm coming from. I am currently a 26-year New York Giants fan. I've loved the New York Giants since the first time I watched them play a football game, which happened to be the 1990 NFC Championship game, the Giants versus the 49ers. Now, while I loved the way the Giants played, my favorite player of all time is Jerry Rice because of that same game. His love, his drive was just amazing, but I loved the way the Giants played. Smash mouth, down and dirty, in your face. We're going to stuff you with the defense all day long. We're going to chase you down. And when we're on the offensive side of the ball, we're going to pound the rock with just a punishing running game and just run it down your throat. And I love that, the way that they played and the heart that they showed. And it really endeared me to them ever since. So that's just where I'm coming from on this. Now, I'm hoping to begin doing these shows on Tuesdays. Coming up. Unfortunately, this one was delayed, trying to get a few things turned around here so that I could get this one posted. But until next time, everyone, have a good week and any given Sunday.